The 21 most important things recruiters want to know. What must I do to become successful in sales and recruiting? That's the million-dollar question so many have asked, and so few have learned the answer. And that's why we'll look at the 21 most important things recruiters want to know for this session. This is one audio you may want to listen to a couple of times because it covers so much ground. If you listen to this segment 6 months from now, you'll be in a different place in your life. And something that was important to you now will not be as important to you as it was then, and vice versa. Here's your chance to learn the secrets. Number one, recruiters must have a thorough, in-depth, and honest understanding of themselves, their behaviors, their values, and their emotional makeup. Now, what does that mean? It means self-knowledge and self-awareness. It's knowing what really excites them most in life. Is it the power and responsibility that comes with promotions? Is it practical thinking? Is it helping someone else grow? What's their value structure? What's their emotional makeup? You see, if you have no anchor to understand who you are, how can you better understand someone else? What do you think the answer is? You can't possibly know, okay? Number two, a successful recruiter's personal competencies include self-management, flexibility, goal orientation, interpersonal skills, persuasion, and a desire or interest in continual learning. Recruiting is selling and can be broken down into three very specific components: what we would call soft skills, hard skills, and selling skills. Competencies in the soft skills area include things like wanting to learn, wanting to have a strong goal direction, having the ability to communicate and listen effectively. Hard skills are the how to do things, but those skills aren't directly related to recruiting. For example, in recruiting, some hard skills are filling out a school visitation folder correctly, computer skills related to keeping track of your leads and applicants, okay? And then specific hard skills related to recruiting are actions like greeting people, asking open-ended questions, asking feedback questions. These are the personal competencies, like self-management. We've found that 95% of all jobs require self-management as one of the top three or four competencies in terms of soft skills to be successful. Number three is the hard skills we just talked about. Those related to selling and recruiting are especially important. And also things like goal setting, time management, customer service. And there are other how-to-do-it skills that really bounce around these selling skills. Number four is selling skills, which include prospecting, trust building, questioning, effective presentation skills, value-added selling skills, finalizing transactions. See, that's kind of the hardware that the surgeon has, that he or she knows how to use a scalpel, for example. Number five, product knowledge. That's a selling skill because it's about knowing how to use your knowledge of the Air National Guard's opportunities. Your product knowledge needs to be centered around the capacity to extract from the Air National Guard offerings those benefits that are most essential to your leads and applicants, and then, in turn, applying them to match the person's buying agenda. Product knowledge is not how much you know about the Air National Guard. It's your ability to access it and seamlessly integrate it to the specific situation that your lead or applicant is going to use the features of the Air National Guard for. The sixth is an interest in learning. This is very, very critical for recruiters. Recruiters need to learn about their market, the Air National Guard features and benefits, their influencers, their leads and applicants, their competition. They need to learn everything they can. Poor recruiters fail miserably in a position simply because they think selling is transactional. They think they can be successful by spouting off a list of benefits offered by the Air National Guard and expect the lead will commit to the Air National Guard once they hear something they like. Failing recruiters have no desire to learn anything about the features they're selling, no desire to learn about how to sell more effectively, no desire to learn about the market, no desire to learn about the selling skills required for how to make it happen. And what happens to them? They're gone. Out of here. You know, Tiger Woods will go down as being one of the best to ever play the game of golf, and he pays his swing coach seven figures a year. Now, if he's one of the best, he's continually working on his game. There's an understanding of success that all of us need to tap into and learn something about and then apply it. The most successful recruiters are the ones who are constantly in learning mode. They're involved, engaged, and want to learn something new that they don't know. And the ones who are disengaged are usually the ones that are the poor performers. It may sound generalized, but it's usually true. Recruiters who don't feel they need to learn anything new are often self-satisfied. They're not hungry anymore. They don't want to learn anything. The seventh thing recruiters should know is a very interesting one: emotional maturity. This incorporates an understanding of the importance of balancing empathy with ego, and ego drive with customer focus, and deferred versus immediate gratification. Typically, people who are emotionally immature have some basic commonalities. They blame everybody else for all their problems. They're ego-driven, or they are absolutely subservient. They are very rarely in between. They focus primarily on themselves. They're not worried about deferred gratification. They want everything right now. They can't understand why things play out the way they do. They're always blaming circumstances for their failure. Emotional maturity is an absolutely critical component of success for recruiters. Recruiters who can't rebound from difficulty, who absorb everything instead of deflecting it, get into all kinds of trouble spots. So, emotional maturity is something recruiters have to have, know, or develop. Number 8 is also interesting. An enjoyment of selling or recruiting as a profession, coupled with a commitment to engage in the daily demands that recruiting duty places on them. Recruiting is too hard of a job to do if you see it as a job. You've got to really engage with what you're doing. You have to want to play the game. Otherwise, you have to be content to be on the sideline. Recruiting is a very demanding, difficult game. You have to have the capacity to handle stress, anxiety, and the other emotional demands that selling places upon its participants. The Greatest Salesman in the World is a book written in 1967, and millions of copies have been sold, and it continues to be a valuable publication to this day. In the book, one of the concepts talked about is scroll number 2, and scroll number 2 says, "That I will approach everything and everyone with love in my heart." When you love your profession, and you love what you do, and you love the Air National Guard, and you love the people who join it, you create what becomes almost a shield. When someone rejects what you and the Air National Guard offer, you can say, "That's okay, that's their loss. I accept it, let me go on to someone else." But when you absorb the pain and the disappointment and the frustration, when you absorb that, it becomes something that overwhelms and eats you instead of protecting you. Number 9, pure physical stamina. Pure physical stamina allows recruiters to expend the necessary time, energy, and plain hard work that successful professional recruiting demands. There are very, very few things that can compare with the stamina recruiting duty requires of people, like conducting effective school visitations on a regular basis, keeping up with all the paperwork and reports, answering tough questions from your leads and applicants, their spouses or their parents, negotiating with staff agencies inside and outside your organization, going out and talking to your influencers and fellow guardsmen, working evenings and weekends, giving an exciting presentation, and having people hit you with a countless number of questions, or whatever the case might be. This ties everything together because with all that's going on to build on the product knowledge you have, know yourself, know your own limits, physical and emotional, and then understand behaviorally how you react. All of this requires a very, very complex formula for successful recruiters. Number 10, the capacity to compartmentalize those varied areas of their lives that, if they're not contained, can lead to emotional stress and diffusion. If you take someone who's a real champion, they have the ability to compartmentalize their life's challenges. They don't let one area of failure affect every other area of success. Instead, they compartmentalize the negative thing, not internalize it. Number 11, self-starting capacity, coupled with the ability to recognize the fine difference between persistence and pushiness. You have to be a self-starter, and then you say to yourself, "Okay, when do I move in and contact this lead? When do I let it sit? How often do I go back and attempt to make contact?" It takes an intuitive insight you can develop over time if you are aware enough and say, I need to be able to judge this. I need to be able to gauge how often and how little I need to stay in contact with this person and the level of involvement I need to have during the recruiting process. Number 12 is an understanding of the type of person you're dealing with and how that person wants to be recruited or sold. Now, this is a very, very often overlooked issue. The question is, are you selling your leads the way they want to be sold, or are you selling them the way you want to sell something to them? It's the fatal flaw in selling. You've got to be able to discern between a transactional sale and a relationship sale, between a complex sale and a simple sale, and the ability to determine which strategy is called for at which time. Therefore, you need to have a sales process and be able to apply that selling system, and then also be able to move in and move out with it as you take a look at each particular lead and each particular applicant. Number 13 is one that lots of recruiters struggle with, an understanding of the difference between being liked and being trusted. Top recruiters are not approval seekers. Instead, they're trusted career advisors. Top recruiters understand the difference. A trusted career advisor doesn't call on a lead, applicant, or influencer, taking time out of their busy day only to chit-chat with them or ask them about pictures on the desk or certificates on the wall. A trusted business advisor, a top recruiter, knows people are busy. They themselves are busy, and they're eager to exchange hellos and get to the business at hand. Okay, number 14, a full understanding of the Air National Guard mission. Recruiters need to understand how their organization operates. They need to understand the importance of unit end strength and what it means to combat readiness. Great recruiters know the difference between filing a critical vacancy and overmanning a non-critical career field just to claim an accession credit. They also work with qualified applicants, not the unqualified ones who require multiple waivers to qualify for enlistment. Number 15, a willingness to study their craft. An uncompromising drive to learn more about human nature, sales, their marketplace, and their leads and applicants. Sales is psychology. Sales is sociology. Sales is interpersonal skills. Sales is understanding people. And then it's also understanding what a feedback question is and what an open-ended question is and what an assumptive close is. You see, you've got to study the craft. There are lots of people who study the pants off their product, but they don't study their craft. Well, when you think about doctors, they don't stop learning after they finished medical school. It's a lifetime of learning. And you certainly wouldn't want to go to a doctor who's been in the profession for 30 years and the last time he cracked open a book was way back when he was finishing his exams in medical school. Number 16, no fear in facing the truth. Top recruiters are willing to dissect their sales appointments to discover the things they did that helped or hindered the sale. They have a strong interest in analyzing their relationships with key influencers and identifying areas where there are problems or difficulties. And they're willing to take action to correct those errors. There's a constant course correction, but the emotional maturity we alluded to earlier allows this recruiter to say, you know, I'm not perfect. I think I'm the one that did this wrong. Someone who is emotionally immature, as I said earlier, will blame everybody and everything else. You know, their leads and applicants, their boss, the wing commander, the economy, or whatever the case may be. No. Face the truth and find out what the problem is. Number 17, a willingness to seek help when needed. That means seeking guidance. Now, the guidance could be a mentor, it could be a coach, it could be a spiritual belief system. It's whatever it is you need to help you. But you have to be willing to seek help. The capacity to ask for assistance from mentors, seasoned recruiting professionals, and others who can help them be more successful is crucial to success. This next one, number 18, may shock you. Knowledge and skill in handling their personal financial affairs. Top recruiters know how to manage their money. They understand the role of fiscal responsibility and living within their means. Listen to this one. They don't spend money that doesn't belong to them. Some recruiters are absolutely marvelous at the art of recruiting, but totally helpless at the art of managing their own lives, particularly as it relates to credit. too many recruiters have seen an unfortunate end to their military careers because they used their government-issued credit card for unofficial personal purchases. Number 19. Honesty and integrity beyond reproach. Effective recruiters never misrepresent anything related to the Air National Guard opportunity. That includes leads, applicants, and influencers. The truth of the matter is, you're either honest or you're not. And effective recruiters never misrepresent anything. They tell it exactly like it is. If anything, they'll understate it. That way, the applicant is absolutely pleased with what they get. This idea is also about being focused on what your applicant wants to have happen, not what you want to have happen. It's also about building a relationship with the people you recruit. They'll thank you, and they'll refer you to their friends if you demonstrate honesty and integrity. Number 20. Mastery of their subconscious programming. Top recruiters know that true mental mastery is the key to their success. Now listen carefully. Champions don't scoff at the inner game of selling. They know how important it is. But they also know that positive belief or attitude never acts alone for sales success. Instead, it's only part of the mix. Yet it's a powerful, essential part of the puzzle. Subconscious programming is absolutely essential. We wrote about this in the book Zero Resistance Selling in 1995-1996. What happens is, this expectation and programming is so critical to sales success that the really top recruiters understand it, know it, do it. It's implicit in what they do. Yet invariably, marginal performers scoff at this idea. They say, oh, that ain't nothing. You gotta know your product. Well, no, that's not it. It's knowing yourself, being in control of yourself, and being able to extract the product knowledge as it relates to the model of sales. It allows you to present that product and then to have the greatest expectation of success. The subconscious mind rules the conscious mind, and the subconscious mind cannot determine the difference between a vividly imaginary experience and reality. And so consequently, what happens is, if you take a look at the really good recruiters, they create in their own minds a scenario of a success quotient, a picture. And then what that does is, it works itself back through the actions and then expectations. And finally, number 21, knowledge that the sale doesn't end when the applicant agrees to commit. Long-term relationships mean more work, but they also mean more accessions. Don't forget about the people you already recruited, because if you do, you're leaving future opportunities on the table. Winners know the value of referrals, and they also know the cost of prospecting for new business on their own versus the efficiency of using satisfied unit members to bring them new business. It's really the insider secret. Top recruiters know the lifetime value of satisfied unit members and what those people can do for their recruiting efforts. Now, 21 things recruiters want to know. That's quite a few aspects to consider. Let's briefly review them again. Number 1. A thorough, in-depth understanding of themselves, their behaviors, values, and emotional makeup. Number 2. Personal competencies that include self-management, flexibility, goal orientation, interpersonal skills, and persuasion. Number 3. Hard skills related to things like persuasion, time management, goal setting, customer service, and other how-to-do-it kinds of things that surround the sales role. Number 4. Selling skills that include prospecting, trust building, effective presentation skills, value-added selling, and the skills related to finalizing transactions. Number 5. Product knowledge, centered on the capacity to extract from their offerings those benefits that are most essential to leads and applicants, and then applying them to match the person's emotional and buying agendas. Number 6. An interest in learning. Number 7. Emotional maturity. That incorporates an understanding of balancing ego and empathy. Number 8. An enjoyment of recruiting as a profession, with a commitment to engage in the daily demands that recruiting duty places upon them. Number 9. The pure physical stamina that allows recruiters to expend the necessary time, energy, and hard work that selling requires. Number 10. The capacity to compartmentalize various areas of their lives. Number 11. Self-starting capacity, coupled with the ability to recognize fine differences between persistence and pushiness. Number 12. an understanding of the type of lead or applicant they are dealing with and how that person wants to be sold. Number 13, an understanding of the difference between being liked and being trusted. Number 14, a full understanding of their mission and how their organization operates. Number 15, willingness to study their craft. Number 16, no fear in facing the truth. Number 17, a willingness to seek help when needed. Number 18, knowledge and skill in handling personal financial affairs. Number 19, honesty and integrity beyond reproach. Number 20, positive expectations, belief and attitude, mastery of subconscious programming. And 21, knowledge that the sale doesn't end when the applicant agrees to commit. They understand the lifetime worth of a satisfied unit member. Now, these are only 21. We could probably come up with 21 other aspects, and you can't master all of these in a week. But if you think about what it means to be a recruiting professional in your daily business, you'll find you begin to internalize and apply these ideas, achieving a whole new level of success in your recruiting career and life.